Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our sermon today from Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 5, concerning a Christian state of mind. Again, a Christian state of mind. And if the Lord permits, then we will take a look also at verses 6 through 18 in chapter 2, again, if the Lord allows. But we're primarily focusing on Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 5. And we've already talked about verses 25 and 26, the words of the Apostle Paul as he communicated about confidence and progress, joy and rejoicing as it relates to the Christian state of mind. And then we moved down to verses 27 and 28, and we had talked a little about gospel citizenship. That is the manner of life, or living a manner of life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's communicated in the King James is, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And this is to behave as a citizen of the gospel, to walk in a worthy manner, a manner that is in accordance with or suitable to or with the good message. That's what the gospel is. It is a good message. If you receive good news, if you receive this good message concerning Jesus Christ, then we are not just called to claim the message, we are also called to live according to the message that we've received. Eternal life is a promise that God has given us. Amen. And praise God for that. But the gospel, the promise of eternal life, also require that we live according to the message that we claim to believe in. And that is that we demonstrate that we have had a change in residence. We have been moved and taken out of this world, as it were, as it pertains to how we live, and we have been called into the kingdom of God. We have been ushered into the presence of the Lord in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, and God calls us to live according to that message. We are to live worthy of the gospel. This is how the saints at Philippi are called to live by the Apostle Paul. He reminds them not only to live worthy of the gospel, but he specifically says to them that they are to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we see that the gospel is mentioned twice here. Once as it relates to living worthy of the gospel, and then the other more specifically as it relates to staying together, standing fast, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So one is the message itself, one is the faith that is attached to the message. And this is what the Philippian believers are called to. And not only are they called to this, but you and I are called to the same. Our gospel citizenship is not just a matter of a profession of faith. It is a matter of a changed life. And not just a changed life, but a life where we stand fast together. And we stand fast together because we have the same faith. And this is what the Apostle Paul calls the Philippian believers to. He calls them to the life that is unified in Christ, and the work or the fight and the perseverance that they are called to collectively. And the work of persevering in the faith, it is certainly an individual call, but it is an individual call into a collective identity. That is the identity of oneness, singleness in Jesus Christ. So you've been called out and you have been called into. You have been called out of the world and you have been called into the family of God, the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God, the temple of God. And so this is who we are, and this is what the Apostle Paul reminds the Philippian believers of. And that is, listen, let your life, your manner of living, be worthy of this good news. Demonstrate it. Live it out. Reflect it. Give evidence of what you know to be true. You've got to be fully persuaded of this message, or else you're not going to stand. And this is what he highlights as he continues in what he says to them in verse 27 here in Philippians chapter 1, where he says, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And this is something that is easy to overlook, and that is the oneness that we have as the people of God. And what the Apostle Paul is really highlighting here is the importance of this oneness, the importance of this gospel citizenship, the reminder that this is how the people of God live together because, more specifically in this case, because of the adversity that you are facing and because of my current circumstances. And that is, the Apostle Paul is in bondage and the Philippian believers are being persecuted. They suffer the affliction that comes with this gospel citizenship. And that's what's so deceptive about this calling to the gospel, this call according to the gospel, this call of faith is that many now try to convince us that this call is about prosperity. This call is about self-image. This call is about self-esteem. This call is about all that you desire in this life. And nothing can be further from the truth, because this is about a call that says you've got to stand in this life in order to inherit the promise of the next life that God has given us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called eternal life. And as one of the young people said to me when I asked them what eternal life means, I said, how long is eternal life? He says, it's a long, long time. Amen to that. It's a long, long time. So how much are you willing to give up now in order to lay hold of the life that God has promised to those who trust in his son? And that is what it means to live according to the gospel. You've got to give up your life in this life in order to gain the life that God has promised us. And then you live out the new life. And you especially live out the new life according to the gospel citizenship that the Lord has given us, according to faith, according to the gospel, and we live it out together. You know, doing life together is not a new term. We often, we come up with these new terms, community and doing life together, as if the person who just wrote a book on it has just set the stage for something new. No, that's news that's already been communicated to the church. We call it fellowship. We call it what the Apostle Paul calls it here, standing fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Why is this important? Because they know here in Philippi, the saints at Philippi know about persecution. They know about tribulation and suffering. And we're going to take a look at some of the words that the Apostle Paul communicates in that regard as well. So this is about being together because we have the same gospel. We've been called into the same life. And that is life that is according to the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says, I want to hear about your life. If I'm not there, I want to know. I want the word to reach me that you're living according to the gospel, according to the faith of the gospel, striving together. It's not just how you live, it's how you strive. It's the singleness of mind that we are called to as God's people, especially in the midst of adversity. And some of us, the reason why we spend so much time fighting with one another is because there's nobody pursuing us, or so we think. And so we don't have to rally together. We don't have to pull together. We don't have to be unified in the midst of tribulation and affliction, because we are at ease in this world. And so the ones we desire to fight most are the very ones that we're called to strive together with for the faith of the gospel. Church folks fighting, church folks, while the devil sits back and laughs. And part of the reason for that is that we don't know anything about the necessity of striving together, because we're on vacay. We're living at ease in this world. We can't even relate to this text when we talk about striving together for the faith of the gospel. We like to think of this world as nothing more than a plush hotel with a mint on a pillow, accommodating the church as if this were heaven. And yet the Apostle Paul reminds the believers at Philippi that you are to be one. You are to be one in spirit. You are to be one in mind. And he says you are to wrestle together. That's what it means to strive together. You've got to wrestle together. You've got to stand together. So when we consider what it means to labor or to strive together, when we consider what it means to be committed to one another for the faith, for the conviction that we share, the assurance that we have, because God has promised us according to the good message, the gospel. When we consider this, the question is, are we living accordingly? Paul makes it clear that whether I come or whether I don't come, I want to hear that you are striving together, that you are wrestling together, that you are standing fast, you're persevering. To be stationary is the word that's communicated here when he speaks of standing together. You got to know that you stand fast in one spirit and that you wrestle together. Listen, this is about the Christian who understands the life that he's called to. I think we lose sight of the fact that we're not just called to claim faith in Christ. We're called to stand on that faith. We're called to be stationary. I will not be moved, to persevere, to continue on, to fight the good fight, to labor together, to strive for the same thing. There's not one gospel for you and another for me. There's one gospel. And the Apostle Paul is calling the church and reminding the believers at Philippi that they are called to a singleness as it relates to the gospel, a singleness as it relates to their state of mind, a singleness as it relates to their striving together as one. This is the Christian state of mind. The Christian state of mind has to do with the same citizenship that calls us to stand together, to persevere together, to be stationary. Don't lose your place. Stay together. Lock arms. Link up. Hold fast. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To wrestle together, to struggle together. This is what it means to live worthy of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ never sabotaged and divided the very church that Christ builds. He says, I will build my church. He didn't say, I will build several churches. There is a collective identity for the people of God, no matter where you are and who you are. If you are standing fast in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are one with every citizen of the kingdom of God. And we strive together. We work together. We've got to stop fighting each other. And we've got to stand together for the same gospel. Now, if you got a different gospel working, I can't help you. Because there's only one. And you can refer to Galatians and read up on that and make sure you realize that there's only one gospel. There's not another. So if we're divided according to the truth of the gospel, then we have citizenship that cannot be reconciled. That is, you are a citizen of something else, because my citizenship is based on one gospel. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other. So when we consider this, we've got to realize that we are called together. Gospel citizenship, to stand fast and to strive together for the faith. That's our purpose. We're not striving together for minutiae. We're striving together because we hold fast, or we stand fast and we persevere in the faith. And therefore, it's worth fighting for. That's what the scripture reminds us of. That's what Jude says when he speaks of earnestly contending for the faith. That's what the Apostle Paul says when he communicates to fight the good fight of faith. We have to stop thinking of the gospel as nothing more than a message of preference and not as a message of necessity for eternal life and heavenly citizenship. And this is what the Apostle Paul is communicating. You've got to stay together as it relates to this gospel and the faith of the gospel. You've got to live according to the gospel. You got to live worthy of this message of truth, because there is no other. There's no other Savior. There's no other hope. There is no other gospel. There is no other word that gives or demonstrates the power of salvation. Only the gospel of Christ. And so this is the gospel citizenship that the Apostle Paul speaks of. So he already talked about the confidence and progress, joy and rejoicing. And then we just looked at the gospel citizenship. And then he continues with the gospel citizenship, where he speaks of, and in nothing, in verse 28, and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. So how does this work together? This works together. This is still linked to striving together and standing fast, because your adversaries are trying to discourage you as it relates to the gospel and your faith. So the life that we live is the life of perseverance and labor. Laboring together as it relates to our faith. Why? Because we believe it. We are assured of it. We share the same conviction concerning the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would we be terrified by our adversaries? Our adversaries are trying to disrupt our oneness, our citizenship. They are trying to get us to move off of this gospel, to retreat, to stand down, as it were. So he's saying, part of living a life that's worthy of the gospel of Christ, part of living and standing according to the gospel, that is standing fast, part of striving together is not being terrified of our adversaries. And this is what he reminds the believers at Philippi of. This is not the time to retreat. No time is the time to retreat, because the church of God cannot be conquered. The gospel is not a temporary message that suddenly you find out that nothing that's promised is guaranteed. All that God promises, is, as is communicated in Scripture, all of the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. And so we are not to, the believers in Philippi are not to be frightened. They are not to be frightened by those who oppose them, those who are contrary. And this is what's happening to the church in our time is that we are backing down and compromising at every turn. Every issue, everything that the world tells us we owe them and we are to negotiate and compromise about, we back down. And now we want to be dual citizens. We want to have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. And it just depends on what day of the week and the time of day and which way the ebbs and flows of the world are going that determines which citizenship we claim at the time. That's not how the people of God live. We stand and are not terrified. We stand together and are not terrified by those who oppose us. Why is the church so divided today? Because we don't stand. We don't stand for anything. We give up so easily. We have become such spiritual pushovers. And we negotiate and compromise and we acquiesce in order to appease the world and to reassure them that we pose no threat whatsoever. And yet the life that's worthy of the gospel citizenship, those who stand fast, those who strive together, stand fast against the adversaries. Those who oppose us are destined for destruction. And this is the indication, this is the evidence that we are not to fear. And this is the confirmation of our salvation. And it is the confirmation of their destruction. Listen, if we don't have anyone who opposes us, then we don't understand the value of the salvation that we have. The scripture speaks of the devil, and it speaks of our adversary, the devil, seeking whom he may devour. We're told to stand and to resist the devil. And part of the problem that we have is that we, number one, we take this battle so lightly. And number two, we're so divided that we have no strength and we have no unity in terms of standing and striving and working together. And we lose sight of our citizenship and we underestimate the power of God. We no longer have any expectation that God will be with us to see us through. And so again, we give up. We quit. We go to the other side. And then what we find is we find a divided church in a dark world shining not even a flicker of light. And this is what the Apostle Paul is reminding these Philippian believers of. You have been called to stand together and to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Don't let your adversaries terrify you or frighten you. And the church today says, I don't have any adversaries. That's because you're not standing for anything. That's why you don't have any opposition, because you don't stand for anything. And then what you do stand for is tied to everything that the world is interested in and nothing that represents the gospel of Jesus Christ and the faith of the gospel. What we're standing for today ain't even worth standing for. It's worldly affairs. It's things that the world is preoccupied with. In order to give an indication of the salvation that we have to stand for the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And that is the life that we live. It's not just standing and marching and saying something. It is living out what we say we believe, which includes standing and not being terrified because we don't go the way of the world. This world, our adversaries are going to be ruined. They're destined for damnation. And the Lord says about his people, and what the Apostle Paul reminds the believers in Philippi of, is that they have been rescued. God has saved them. God has promised to bring them to safety. And God is not a man that he should lie. And so we have this promise from God that is according to the gospel. And what comes with that promise is the power that God gives us to stand against our adversaries. Don't be frightened by those who criticize and contradict and who oppose us. Stand. And stand together. And this is the message. This is the message that's so important that the Apostle Paul is communicating. And what does he also speak of? He speaks of suffering and conflict. So he speaks of confidence and progress, joy and rejoicing. He speaks of gospel citizenship, how they are to live according to the gospel. And he speaks of suffering and conflict. When is the last time we've heard about suffering and conflict? You find this in verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And this is what it says in the English Standard. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. And it goes on to say, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. What is going on? It's the conflict. This is the result of the adversaries. This is the result of those who oppose the gospel. And what do we need during this time? What does the Apostle Paul need during this time? He needs not only to know that he's in safe hands in Christ, which he's fully persuaded of, that God will see him through. But he also needs to know that the labor that the Lord called him to preach the gospel, to continue in the work of the ministry for those who are in Philippi, to keep them encouraged and to remind them of the work that God has done, is doing, and will do in them. What is it that he reminds them of? He reminds them that, listen, what comes with this race, what comes with this faith, what comes with this gospel is suffering and conflict. He reminds them that you have not only been given, as it pertains to Christ, the faith that is necessary in terms of the faith that is required, that is believing on Christ, but also you've been called to suffer for his sake, because of him. So not only have you been called to faith, but you've been called to suffering. And this suffering is granted to us. So not only have you been granted as it relates to Christ, concerning Jesus Christ, you've been granted this faith, but you've also been granted this suffering. What comes with this gospel? He didn't say that you've been guaranteed prosperity in this life, and you've been called to live plush, and you've been called to have whatever you want and to figure out your destiny in this life and to do all that you've dreamed of doing because this gospel is all about you. No, this gospel is all about Jesus Christ. And what you get is you get to believe on him and you get to suffer for his sake. I'm not suffering, Pastor, where you ain't believing. And somebody says, well, that, how can you pick out who's suffering and who's not? Because if you just stand on the gospel, if you strive together for the gospel, the faith of the gospel, you don't have to look for the fight. The fight will look for you. I guarantee you. Christians don't have to go looking for fights. We don't have to go protesting. We just have to stand according to the gospel, live according to the gospel, and the adversary will pursue us. That's what persecution is. Persecution is pursuit. This affliction, this suffering, and what our adversary desires in opposing us is all intended to destroy our faith. So we're going to leave off here, and Lord willing, we will continue when we meet again. But until then, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.